Good morning. Today, the Grace Hour begins a series on the fear of the Lord. Following the giving of the Ten Commandments, as is recorded in Exodus 20, 1 through to 17, the Holy Spirit, the ultimate author of the Holy Scriptures, highlights the subject of the fear of the Lord. He does so in Exodus 20, verses 18 through to 21, which reads as follows. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. This is a tumultuous scene. Verse 18 describes a tumultuous scene in which the Israelites, who were at the base of Mount Sinai, witnessed the worst thunderstorm imaginable. The verse says there was the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. It was a scene that scared the daylights out of the Israelites as God had descended to rest his holy presence on Mount Sinai to accompany the giving of the Ten Commandments. In this scene, God had unveiled his presence in a terrifying and palpable way. The tumultuous scene served as a contrast between God's holiness and human sin. God cannot accept sin or sinners in his presence. The closer God's presence gets to a sinner, the dimmer is the sinner's prospect to survive. You may ask, why were the laws of God given in this dreadful manner? I would offer the following reasons. 1. The tumultuous scene was designed to give the Israelites a sense of the glorious majesty of God, with the hope that thereafter they would live in humble, reverential fear and awe towards the Lord. 2. The tumultuous scene was a prelude to the final judgment, in which sinners will be called to account for their breach of God's law. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-8, there it tells us that the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and in flaming fire he will take vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. 3. The tumultuous scene was an indication of the terror of those convictions which the law brings to the conscience and to prepare the soul for the comforts of the gospel. In this regard, the law was given by God to startle and humble men and women that the grace and truth which came by Jesus Christ might be welcomed. In other words, without the law and the condemnation of sin that it brings, one cannot appreciate the grace of salvation through Christ. The writer of the book of Hebrews describes this tumultuous scene and then contrasts the privilege of salvation in Hebrews 12, verses 18 to 19 and 22 to 24. There it reads, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." The scene is also a testing scene. Verse 20 we read, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.'" Moses, finding the people in a state of extreme alarm, comforted them. Yet he spoke in a seemingly paradoxical way. He said, "You don't need to fear God, but you should fear God." Moses, the great leader and mediator between the Israelites and God, assured the people that notwithstanding the tumultuous scene with the thunderings and lightnings, fire on the mountain and the very voice of God, that there was no cause for alarm. Instead, Moses said the unsettling signs were part of God's testing of them to see whether they were inclined to submit themselves to him or not. Furthermore, the signs, Moses explained, were to promote among them a healthy fear of God so that they would be motivated to keep his laws. Moses was saying to Israel, fill your mind with reverence for God so that reverence for God might grip you and make you keep on obeying him and his laws. People should dread sinning against God. People should live with a strong consciousness of God's hatred of sins and his hatred of seeing his laws broken. That is where the problem is today. People are not afraid of the consequences of disobeying God's laws. The laws of God are flouted with impunity every day by many. There's a tendency of some to dismiss the God of the Old Testament in favor of the God of the New Testament. But it is the same God. Furthermore, in the New Testament, God was known to unleash his holy judgment on people who sinned against him. In Acts 5, we read of Ananias and Sapphira, who both were guilty of breaking the ninth commandment, which is, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. God, in his holiness and hatred of their sin, zapped them, killing them on the spot for lying to the Holy Spirit. As a result of this, we read in Acts 5, verse 11, that a great fear of the Lord came upon the church. God is to be feared. A holy fear ought to grip every person to discourage one from sinning against God. That was what Moses told the Israelites. Moses was in effect saying to the Israelites, it is one thing to fear the thunder and the lightning, the fire on the mountain, the trumpet sound, or the voice of the Lord. But it is more important that you fear sinning against God in your daily life. There were also some thick clouds. The trumpet blast, the fire on the mountains, and the thunder and the lightning and the voice of the Holy God, all of this was too much, too terrifying for the Israelites to bear. So they said to Moses in verse 19, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Then we read in verse 21, so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Having seen a frightening and awesome display of the majesty and holiness of God, the Israelites recognized their need for a mediator between themselves and God. They asked Moses to be that mediator. 40 days after the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Israelites made for themselves a golden calf and worshipped it. In so doing, they broke the first and second commandments. God had proposed killing them, but Moses, the mediator, intervened and pleaded for mercy towards Israel, and God relented. Moses foreshadowed the ultimate mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. On the merits of his shed blood on the cross, Jesus now serves as a mediator between God and man. He is the only mediator between a holy God and sinful human beings. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Only Jesus can represent and plead for sinful human beings before the one true and holy God. Exodus 20:21 makes the point that when the holiness of God was too potent for the people to bear, they stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. The Bible teaches that the holiness of God is too potent for ordinary human beings to bear. Hence, there is a sense in which all sinners, like the Israelites of old, stood afar off from God. But Ephesians 2, verse 13 tells us that on the merits of Christ's atoning death on the cross, a way has been made whereby people can now enter into the presence of a holy God. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This means that when a person repents and thereby surrenders his or her life to Christ, that person now has a relationship and access to the presence of a holy God. That person does not need to fear or dread God's holy wrath on all sinners because Christ has borne that judgment on their behalf on the cross. Next week, we continue our contemplation of the fear of the Lord.